And it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Amen.
Whoa. And we're loud. All right. Good deal. And it is always good to have my sister and her husband here, Gary and Cindy Livingston, living in Ohio. And always good to have them visiting, because when my sister's here, I always know that I have a sinner to preach to. And that's fun and exciting. And so, actually, I gave that title to Brother Harnden earlier, so I guess we're just, and then he gave it right back to me. So he said he's talked to my wife, and she told about my one sin, and he just looked at me like there might be more than one. So I guess we're all sinners saved by grace, and that's what we just sang. And that's why you ought to smile, amen, because that the key word in there is saved, amen. It's one thing to be a sinner. It's another thing to be a saved sinner, and praise the Lord for salvation. But anyway, my sister able to come to the mother-daughter banquet, and in the past she's been down in Indiana. And had you ever come before to a mother-daughter banquet here? I didn't think so. So now that they're a little closer, praise the Lord. She got to come, had a wonderful day yesterday, and just a great banquet, and praise the Lord for that. Well, we are in the book of Revelation, and we are on lesson 37, which is the last lesson. Doesn't mean it's over today, though. We could go on another month or so, or year, who knows. But anyway, if you need lesson 37, raise your hand. Lesson number 37, I know Brother Harnden is so good at passing those out, and then he's good at passing out, but no, he's been sick the last couple weeks, so glad he's feeling better, just so that I can give him a hard time. We are covering Revelation chapters 20 through 22, and we've titled this last section, section 7, the Alpha and Omega, and then, of course, lesson 37, the title, the Accomplishment of God's Will, covering Revelation 21 and 22. So our memory verse, two verses, Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And let's go ahead and say those together. We'll say the reference, the verses, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And let's do that again. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. Father, we do thank you for the beautiful day you've given to us and a beautiful weekend. We just thank you that we can gather in church today and pray that you will bless our time. May it be profitable. May you guide us through the scriptures today and give us something that will change our lives. It will be different as a result of today. Be with all our classes. If there's anyone here not saved, I pray that today would be the day that they would trust Christ as their Savior. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we have started in on this lesson a couple of weeks ago, lesson 37, and Roman number 1, the future destiny, Revelation 21, 1 to 9. It's an exciting passage. It really is such a blessing to contemplate heaven and the new heaven, the new earth, and all of that, and we've spent quite a bit of time talking about that. And again, we want to remind you the scripture very, very clear in Revelation 20 and verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. What we would understand as the dissolving of sin and sin's presence and everything that's been sinful. And the Bible talked about that also, 2 Peter 3 verses 1 to 6. And compared to the flood, and you know, God doesn't like sin. He hates sin, and he hates sinfulness, and it's against him. It's against his holiness.
And as long as we understand that, recognize that, we can grasp even more so the grace of Calvary and how God, you know, why would he ever put up with me? You don't have to amen that too much. Why would he do? Why? He saved us. It's by his grace. We didn't deserve it, but he sent his son to die on the cross for us. It's an amazing thing. And thus the song Amazing Grace and other songs with those words. And it is amazing, really, when you think about it. And because he's going to the provide a new heaven, a new earth that will not be tainted. You know, Satan, he was all over. He was in he's the prince of the power of the air. And some people talk about, you know, TV, radio, internet, all that. Well, he's just been all over. He went up to heaven's glory, as we see in the book of Job, as he is the accuser. And so God makes all things new. And we've talked about all that. So we've moved into, let's see, I got to remember where I left off last week. We talked about verse 3, I believe. We ended with verse 4. We talked about God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isn't that wonderful? All tears from their eyes. And we did talk about that. Somebody mentioned to me afterwards, said, what about tears of joy? That there would be tears in heaven. Well, and I think there will be tears of joy, certainly. But I think he's talking here about tears of pain, because then we have the series of no mores. And we kind of ended with that last week. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. What a blessing. Amen. Well, get excited, all right? You know, no more of those things. Sin is gone. And thus the result of sin is gone. And, you know, you think about that, and that should be one of the great blessings of the Christian. It is certainly, you know, we talk about heaven. We talk about all the things about heaven. You know, I talk about the mansion and talk about my pond of chocolate out front and or in the back. It doesn't matter where it is. Or maybe a moat of chocolate. Wouldn't that be good? And but you know, that isn't the only thing about heaven. Heaven is a sinless place. And so, you know, we who feel that burden of sin, and it just pulls on us and pulls on us, and you know, and then we do something, we think something, we say something, whatever it might be, and then we feel so bad about that. You know, in heaven there won't be any of that. We won't be doing, saying, thinking any kind of things that we're going to regret. Can you imagine going through a day with no regrets? Can you imagine going through a day without, you know, oh, I shouldn't have said that. There won't be any of that in heaven. And so no death, no sorrow. Boy, what a blessing. Never a funeral again. Amen. No crying. No more. We won't need Kleenex tissues. Amen. Won't that be wonderful? You say, well, you know, won't we blow our... I don't know if there will be mucus in heaven. But no more pain. How about that? How many of you felt some pain when you got up this morning? All right, my hand's right up there. Amen. You know, you say, no, I don't ever feel. I don't feel it anymore. It's just part of life. I don't even recognize. Well, praise the Lord. There will be no pain, the Bible says, in heaven. So that's exciting. And that is such a blessing. And so we have all these no mores. And the sin is gone, so the results of sin are also gone. Notice, go back to Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. Here's another exciting thing. Isaiah 65, 17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And watch this. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Isn't that something? That's an interesting verse. Not remembered nor come into mind. You say, well, what about if I think about all my bad memories? You won't have any in heaven. It won't be that old heaven, that old earth, all that took place, that will all be gone. All of those things will not be remembered. Again, God is wiping away tears. We have to believe that, you know, there is, and again, the Bible does not say exactly, but perhaps there will be a recognition of the great white throne judgment,
whereby we would be observant of those that are cast into the lake of fire. But I believe with all my heart that God then would remove that memory from us. And because obviously if we thought about that, then we would weep all the way through heaven. We should anyway. By the way, we ought to do a little weeping here. Amen. People are going to hell all around us. There ought to be some weeping that goes on. But again, what a blessing to think, you know, all that junk that pulls on you, you know, all that stuff from the past, right? I can't believe I did. Listen, you did that. So much of my counseling is, okay, you got to move forward, all right? Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark. Get your eye on that goal today. Quit looking back at the failure of yesterday. Amen. Guess what? In heaven, you won't know any failure. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? We're not going to know of any failure when we get to heaven. We won't remember all of that. We won't remember our sins. Isn't it wonderful that though we remember sinful things, when your sin's under the blood, he forgets. God doesn't know it. God doesn't remember our sins. That's an amazing thing. And it also is such a blessing to me. And so, verse 4, such a wonderful verse. And I hope that today it'll give you encouragement. It'll excite you just thinking about that. We move on to verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." I like that. I make all things new. And he said unto me, again, we go back to him talking to John. He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Again, what a wonderful thing to know that that which is written, that which we have in our Bibles, it is faithful, it is true. You can count on it. You can trust it. I read the newspaper this week and read several things that I just kind of looked at and I thought, I wonder what's true and what's not true, right? The media, you kind of wonder what's true, what's not true. But I can always get out the old King James Bible and I can know that everything I read in here is true. Now, every now and then I come across some of my own notes and, you know, I don't know about those things. But I know that the words of God, they're always true. They're always faithful. I can count on it. I can plan on it. And he says here that all things, he said, "Behold, I make all things new." Boy, what an exciting thought that is. What an exciting thought. You know, as a pastor, you know, for years I've gone to surgeries and different things. I've watched people get all kinds of things replaced. Right? Knees and hips and all kinds of things get replaced, right? It started with me when I was very young getting glasses replaced and then contacts replaced and then we get our teeth replaced and, you know, we get this replaced and that replaced and they always say, "Well, you're getting a new knee." No, it's not really a new knee. It's not really a new hip. It's not really, you know, here, you know, when we get to heaven, that's going to all be new. It's going to be new and it's going to be perfect. Can you imagine what that's like? All things are going to be new. I'm going to have, my heart's going to be right. Amen. It's just going to be right. It's always going to be right there. And he says, "I make all things new." Again, no recollection of the junk of our past. No reminders of the junk of the past. You know, I got to be honest, my sister and I, we've known each other the longest. You know, when you start realizing that you and whoever else, maybe a sister, maybe a parent still, you're the only ones. Well, every time we get together, we start talking about some of the old days. And sometimes that's fun, but sometimes it leads to something that's not so fun. And it's one of those bad memory kind of things, you know. And there won't be any of that when we get to heaven. Isn't that one? Well, somebody, you know, respond and do something. You know, it's kind of like, I know we're all in a daze, right? It's warm and it's sunny. I know, it's hard to believe there's no snow out there. But I love that. I love that everything, it's just all new. And again, you can count on it because
true and faithful. God's word is true and it is faithful. And we can count on it. We can plan on it. Amen. When I read my Bible, I can count on what it says. And this is one of the things I'm counting on. Everything's going to be brand new in heaven. Glory to God. Amen. And verse 6 goes on, and it says, and he said unto me, it is done. I like that too. This voice here, we believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because it's at Revelation 1 and verse 8, look at it, go back there. That was like 3 years ago. Revelation 1 verse 8 or something like that, I'm not sure. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You remember that way back 3 years ago? Way, 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 way back in 2011 or 12, whatever it was when we covered that. Way back there. But again, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I love that. That's a whole nother study in and of itself. But the voice here is, I believe, the voice of Jesus Christ. He said, it is done. Praise the Lord. Wow. I mean, what a blessing. But let me, and I really want to get on that, but let me just give you some other verses here about this voice being Jesus because of some of the other things that he says here. And he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Again, this is why I believe this is the Lord Jesus. Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Again, I want you to write these down. Because I am going fast to try to get finished by the end of this year. Isaiah 55, I would like to finish this before the rapture. But if I don't, we'll let Jesus teach us when we all get together there. Isaiah 55, 1. Can you imagine having the revelation, finish off the revelation study with the Lord Jesus teaching it by my pond of chocolate? Seriously, I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, as we listen to him, we could just reach down with our cups and say, fill my cup, Lord, and just drink that. Anyway, all right. That's carnal. Isaiah 55, 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's a precious verse right there. Isn't that wonderful? You know, Jesus has the water of life and it is free to you and I. What a blessing that is. I don't know if I ever told you this, but years ago, my wife and I were traveling somewhere, and when we travel, we talk. And we like to talk. We bounce ideas off. We've done this for years. And we were traveling somewhere, and this was way back probably in the 80s, I'm guessing, or maybe the 90s. And she said, you know, she said, I'm really thirsty. We need to go to a drive-in or something like that and grab something to drink or something like that. And she said, you know, I said, yeah, I got to have back in those. I mean, I've gone from Mountain Dew to Pepsi to Diet Coke to Diet Pepsi to Diet 7-Up to, you know, all those kind of things. And so she said, you know, she said, I just want water. I would just like to have some water. And again, this was back, you know, back in the old days. And she said, if I could just have some water, that'd be good. And so we went to a rest stop, and they had all these cans of Pepsi and Coke and everything. And I got my whatever it was back then, probably Diet Coke. And we got in the car, and she had to get Sprite or something. I don't know what it was. I made this statement. I said, you know what people ought to do? I said, Bren, you and I ought to do this because we're always looking at something we need to invent, right? And so I said, we ought to put water in a can and sell it. And she laughed at me. She mocked me. Can you believe that? I said, babe, I said, we just get water and put it so people can have it in a can. And then they could, she said, people would never do that. Oh, do I remind her of that? When we were in Barbados and it was very expensive to have bottled water, I reminded her often, all over the world, babe, they could be buying water from Rogers.
Can you imagine? But you know, the water that is the most precious water is the water of life that Jesus offers, and it's free. It's free. And our salvation cost us nothing. It cost him everything, but it costs us nothing. This voice in Revelation 1:8 is the Lord Jesus. In John 4, verse 10, again, we have another example of this water. John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus, of course, talking here to the Samaritan woman. And they were supposed to be enemies, you know, the Jews and Samaritans, where when I was growing up, we played cowboys and Indians. And when Jesus was growing up, they played Jew and Samaritan. But they, in John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus says to this woman from Samaria, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Wow, what a blessing to know that river is going to be in the new heaven. And that river, that water of life, is going to be offered all the time. Again, references in Revelation that we looked at some years ago, some months ago. Revelation 7, verse 17. It says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In Revelation 22 and verse 1, and we'll get there. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And then verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And of course, we believe this is the Lord Jesus speaking here, as he says in verse 6, it is done. And what a blessing. His will has been done. You think about it. You think about, again, for us, time, years and years and years. We don't have to consider the billions and billions of years of the evolutionists. We can go back to our Bibles and just understand that to God, a day is a thousand years is as a day, and time, God is not restricted by time, though we are. But he was restricted by his will being done. It all had to be done. Amen. Now he could have destroyed man. He could have any time destroyed man. It seems like he would have just wiped us all out and never. But he had a plan, and his plan was a perfect plan, and that was that his son would come and die for us so we would not have to die. And his plan was so that we could fellowship with him. We see it all through the Bible. This is what he wants. And as we talked about, as we got into the beginning of this passage of Scripture, he made it very, very clear that that God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The word there, dwell, is to tabernacle with us, and that takes us back to our Old Testament studies of the tabernacle, which is all about God dwelling with his people. Oh, listen, he wants to spend time with you. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to be with him, because in heaven we will be with him. He will dwell with us. And everything at this point in Revelation 21, it's done. His will is done. And so verse 6, a precious, precious verse. What time is it? All right, verse 7 then. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, you know, here's one of our verses. We've run into this before, and I don't know if anybody remembers when we ran into this before. I'm curious if anybody does. This would have been probably 2.5 years ago, perhaps. Anybody remember this little statement type thing? I'm going to give you an opportunity. Remember when we started one of my classes years ago? We started, I think it was a Daniel class, and I did quizzes. And there was a rebellion. Do you remember that? Because nobody could pass the quizzes. So we quit doing quizzes. But here's a little pop question. All right, you remember where we saw that? Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Overcoming. Remember that? What is it? Oh, and you weren't even here. You were in New Guinea. Probably. No, you might have been here. It might have been before you went. No, I'm just kidding. But chapters 2 and 3, to the churches, he said, he that overcometh. And remember how tempted people are to think that means that you have to work your way to heaven. Remember that? We talked about all that. Overcoming. Yes. Overcoming. In other words, we're working our way. We have to overcome in order to be saved. Remember we talked about that? Anybody remember that? Shake your head. Close your eyes or open them maybe. That would be encouraging. Okay. Well, there are those that would want to take a verse like that and the verses in chapters 2 and 3, and they would like to say, well, you see, if you're not working your way to heaven, you can't overcome, therefore you go to hell. That is not what that says. And that is not what that's about. In fact, I'll show you 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 will help you understand, as we did when we came to that in chapters 2 and 3. 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Isn't that good? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's not works. Then he's going to really answer the question in verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? Oh, here we go. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the overcomer. The overcomer is the one who's saved. The overcomer is the one who has trusted Christ as Savior. It's not talking about you overcoming your bad habit of smoking. It's not talking about you overcoming your bad habit of cussing. It's not talking about you overcoming your bad habit of falling asleep while the preacher's preaching. No, but it's not talking about that. It's talking about overcoming sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we do overcome, by the way, is to be saved and to be born again. Born again. And so praise the Lord for that. So again, we understand this. We recognize that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. That's where that mansion comes in. Amen. That's where those streets of gold come in. That's where those pearly gates come in. That's where that chocolate pond comes in. Or maybe it's a lake. I don't know. I would think that since it'll be perpetually fed, it doesn't matter how big it is. How much chocolate could you eat? Right? Amen. Again, what a wonderful promise that we shall inherit all things. That's for those who are saved. Again, it's not saying anybody's better than anybody else. It's just saying we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have overcome based upon trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let's go ahead and have the ushers come, if they would, and we'll receive our offering for our class. And I'm just going to move right along here into verse 8. And these, in verse 8, these are not God's people. These are not overcomers. These are not people that are born again. These are the description of all other folks, those who are not saved. And I do want to remind each of us that the Scripture tells us in Corinthians, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen. So no matter what we read here, it's not a matter of us looking and saying, oh, I just can't believe people are like this. It's a matter of saying, it's by the grace of God that I'm not called this because I am this. Yeah. Go into Galatians sometimes and just look at the flesh. Just look at what we really are, the manifested, you know, the works of the flesh, manifested. You know, that's us. That's what we really are. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. That's why I never understand how any Christian could ever think they're something. Honestly, if we just read our Bibles, we'll find out. Well, so again, here's the list in verse 8. These are not God's people. These are people who are lost. It says the fearful, unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are not God's people. These are not overcomers. These people have not been saved. They are lost, fearful. Fearful could mean any number of things. These could be people that had a fear of man, and therefore they didn't trust Christ. They feared man. Fearful of any number of things that would cause them not to be saved. Maybe fearful of being made fun of. I there's so many ways fearful could be taken there. The word abominable is tied in with the word abomination. And God hates sin. And there are sins listed in the scripture. Pride is an abomination to God. And there are many sins that are abomination. By the way, when something's an abomination to God, we ought not say, oh, that's okay. Hello. I mean, abominable. God hates sin. And again, don't sit here and think, well, whew, that's not me. No, that's just not your title. Because we're washed. We're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but it is us. And abominable and murderers, we know what that is. Murderers. But the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. If you hate people, you're like a murderer. And again, thank God for the blood of Christ, because we'd all be in trouble. When's the last time you were driving along and somebody cut you off? And you rah, 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 rah. I was riding with somebody the other day, and all they did was talk the whole time about everybody else. Why are they doing that? What are they doing? And I'm just thinking, good grief. I don't want to mention any names. It wasn't my wife. But anyway, then it talks about whoremongers, and you look around at all the sexual sins today and perversions and junk that's going on, and men want to be women and women want to be men, and we've got all that stuff going on. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say anything. You'll get in trouble. I've always been in trouble. Ever since I answered God's call, it was like saying, I'm willing to be in trouble. I'm just going to preach the word. Whoremongers. I mean, it's just all over the place today and all of that. But again, it's us. It is what we are. Oh, you say, I'm not a whoremonger. I would never be a whoremonger. Oh, no. Yeah, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so we have the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers. Now, we think of a sorcerer as woo-hoo, somebody casting spells and all that kind of stuff. In reality, and certainly that is under this, but the word there is pharmakeias, which is pharmakeias. Anybody know what that ties into? Very good, because pharmacy, drugs, hallucinogenics, mind control, and sorcery, and all of that, it all ties together. Some of the wacky stuff that is going on in our day, and things that, I just got a real buzz over there. Well, maybe you'd be better off unbuzzed. Amen. But all that kind of stuff that goes on, and demon possession is, I believe, part of that. So again, all of those things, that it is a description of our day. Idolaters, worshiping an idol. Again, you say, not me. I don't ever do it. Really, how about that car? What about that TV? What about that motorcycle in the garage? Now, I'm not saying that just because of Dale Bowman, because of his Harley, but I don't think he worships it. Debbie might, but no, I don't think they do. But actually, I've been looking. I kind of look every now and then. I still have my endorsement to ride. I'm not sure I could anymore. I'm old, but you're older than me. So anyway, whatever it is, it could be anything. It could be an idol. It could be your wallet. It could be your checkbook. Could be your job. Could be your spouse. It could be, you know, any number of things take God's place. What takes God's place in your life? Could be your television, could be your computer, could be your internet, could be anything. You know, it could be another person. We tell our young people, I'll see a young person on fire for God, ready to do something great for God, and all of a sudden, you know, if it's a young man, he meets some girl, and she flitters her eyes at him, and her eyelashes, and bats them at him, and all of a sudden, he's forgotten about God. You know, could that be idolatry? Sure it could. And so idolaters. And then if you haven't found your little spot where you are or were, then all liars. And I honestly can't imagine any of us not lying sometime. We've all lied. And James tells us that we've all offended with our tongue. You know, if you haven't offended with your tongue, he says you're a perfect man. And we're not. Nobody is. Yeah, you say, well, I never offend anybody. You just did. You lied. So anyway, all liars. And this list is like other lists in the Bible of sin. Okay, and again, when we get this idea that, well, that's them and we're us. No, that was me. Now, I still fall into this category, other than that isn't how he sees me. Glory to God in the highest. Because if that was how he saw me, then that's where I would go as well. Why didn't he see me that way? Because the precious blood of Jesus is an atonement. It covers me. Amen? And it blots out that sin. That's how I go to heaven. Anyway, that's a whole... I almost got off on a tangent. That's why we haven't finished this class. But all are guilty. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ is the difference. And then we end up here with verse 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me. By the way, don't just gloss over these things. Think about that. John, here's this angel, and it comes and talks to John. Anyway, all right. I know I can't get you back there. But he says, and saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And so we're going to talk number two about the fabulous description and get into that. But anyway, that will be next week. And so praise the Lord for this passage of Scripture. It is one of the glorious passages of Scripture, such a blessing. And one that if you just need encouragement, go back and read it and let the Lord encourage you. This whole thing, I know I've preached for many, many years, and many times I've said, you know what, I think the Lord's coming soon. Well, if I thought he was coming soon 20 years ago, I think he's coming sooner. I just think he's coming. That's why he said in the end here, he said, I come quickly. Well, it is quickly. It's going to be, and it's quicklier now than it was 2,000 years ago. Amen. If quicklier can be used as a word, which we'll use it. Amen. Do we have anybody that teaches English? Nope, she's not here, so we're safe.